Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Arbhajan Khalsa, a dementia-capable Southern Arizona program director. And we're going to be discussing living alone with dementia. Janice, one third of older adults live alone. And when you couple with this, the social isolation that can go along with living by yourself. And I just reflect on the changes that happen for someone who's living with early stage dementia, changes that relate to short-term memory, that relate to attention, judgment, decision-making, the functional changes that go along with that. We always talk about in the early stage, people struggle more with these instrumental activities of daily living, cleaning, paying their bills, taking their medications, cooking. For someone who is living by themselves with these sorts of changes, it can make managing day-to-day life incredibly stressful. And we often see people living with dementia who live by themselves progress more quickly through their dementia.
I'm so glad that we're having this discussion today because this is such an important topic. So many people share that it is their desire to stay comfortable and safe in their homes and to remain independent for as long as possible. And in season 6 of Dementia Untangled, we talked about how to make your home dementia friendly with licensed clinical social worker Jennifer Reeder from the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. And she shared how important it is to keep a person-centered approach. And she shared aspects like design and colors and technology and safety measures that can provide support. Today, I'm looking forward to talking to Arbhajan about various supports and services that are available and sometimes necessary to have someone continue living safely and comfortably in the home of their choice for as long as possible.
Welcome, Arbhajan. Thanks for joining the conversation today.
I'm happy to be here.
Before we learn more about living alone with dementia, I'd love to learn a little bit more about you. Tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community.
Absolutely. I would be happy to share that. So I have been working for Pima Council on Aging, which is the area agency on aging in Pima County, for just about 4 years now. And I had the opportunity to transition from our community services system over to Dementia Capable Southern Arizona just at the beginning of COVID. And it was a really wonderful transition for many reasons. Personally, I have someone very close in my life whose mother has been diagnosed with dementia, and watching them navigate that process, especially when they started to see the signs of decline before anyone else in the family did, and before anyone else in the family was willing to accept, and how that process has evolved over time, really enlightened for me the need for services and the need to talk about this conversation and this topic. Dementia is not always a sexy topic, but it is an important topic, and it is something that is impacting so many people across the world. And so whatever we can do in our corner to better our community is really important to me. And so while all of that in my personal life was going on, this opportunity for this program came up, and I really kind of jumped on it, and I loved the innovation in the ways that we could offer memory cafes and join the dementia-friendly community and provide screenings and support. And so it just kind of all perfectly fell into place. And so I've been doing this work for 2 years and I have learned more than I ever thought I would. And it's just been a real pleasure.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. And you talk about our corner and making a difference in our community. So I think you're the perfect guest to talk to today about living alone with dementia. I wonder if we could start with maybe a bit of a definition. I hear this term often, even associated with dementia-friendly communities. What is aging in place?
So aging in place, and I really love that terminology, aging in place, because it kind of says it right there in the title. The whole purpose is we want older adults to gracefully and with dignity age in place, wherever that place may be, but it should be the place of their choosing to the best of their ability. And so how can you age with grace and dignity if you are living independently, living alone in a home, or if you choose to live in a facility or an assisted living community? What are the things that we as a community can do to provide support so that you can age in place? And nobody wants to, well, not nobody, but most people don't want to wind up in an institution or in a hospital. People want to die at home. They want to die surrounded by their loved ones in an environment that is comfortable and safe for them. So how can we help foster that in our communities? And I think that's, for me, that's what aging in place means. And it's really wonderful to be able to be a part of a community that is striving to accomplish that goal.
Tell us a little bit about that goal with the dementia-friendly community that you're a part of.
So we are in the process right now. We are working very closely with you, Janice, and our friends at Banner to have Pima County be recognized as a dementia-friendly community. And it falls right in line with what we just talked about with aging in place, because our goal is to have our whole community be dementia-friendly and have at least some common language and a foundation of understanding about what it means to be a person living with dementia, what their needs are, and how to support their caregivers. And I always like to give the example, if I'm living alone, I want my family to feel comfortable, if I have dementia, that I can take the bus, go to the grocery store, go to the library or the bank. I can live my life. And if I have an episode, if I get lost or confused or need help, the people that I'm interacting with along my day have some understanding and knowledge of dementia so that they can help me and it doesn't become a bigger situation than it needs to be. And so we are right now in the process here in Pima County of going through all the steps so that we can make our community dementia friendly so that folks can, if they want, they can stay living independently as long as possible while going through their dementia diagnosis.
You talk about the importance of a community-wide movement and a community-wide support, but we often hear, and I even mentioned it when we were introducing this subject, that people who live with dementia tend to progress more quickly in their disease. Why is that?
I think there are many factors that can lead to a rapid progression of dementia if you are living alone with the disease. I think from what I understand, and I am not a medical professional, this is from what I have learned and what I have gathered from research and really talking to people and having conversations with people who are living alone with dementia and people who are living in communities with dementia. I think one of the biggest things is social isolation and loneliness. I know this is a very big topic right now nationally coming out of COVID and the pandemic. There have been so many negative repercussions from isolation and loneliness. It can increase health issues. And I think that hand in hand with living alone with dementia can make the disease progress more quickly. Also, typically, if you're living together as a couple, someone will notice the signs sooner than the person living with dementia. So oftentimes people who live alone with dementia don't get a diagnosis early on because they either are not aware of the symptoms themselves, or maybe they're in denial of it. So it can take longer to get that diagnosis and even longer to get support and services in place depending on the situation. So I think that's where I say this all the time, and I know people listening, if my staff are listening, they're going to roll their eyes. But just getting screened and having these conversations and getting education out in our community so that people are not afraid to talk about dementia. They're not afraid to ask for a memory screening. They're not afraid to ask for help. They know that help is out there, can help get an earlier diagnosis so that hopefully folks living alone can have a better outcome.
And thank you for all your work in raising awareness about dementia and early detection and the supports and services that are out there. I'm wondering if you could share, what are some strategies that a person living with dementia can use to promote independence and safety, or their care partner or caregiver or family member? What are some of those strategies?
That's a great question, Janice. I think there are several strategies, and everyone is different. And so everyone will start from a different point. But I think kind of the three main things I look at are legal and financial planning. So as early on into the diagnosis as possible, that you can start looking at end of life care planning and financial planning, you'll be set for success. And there won't be that stress of having to worry about having your finances in order, having your bills paid on time. Also, it's really important to have your wishes expressed for your end of life care planning while you're still able to express them. I think that's one of the big things that we really push and promote, is how do you want the end of your life to look? And make sure that people know it, that it's written down, that it's on paper, that people understand it so that you don't have to worry. And also your loved ones don't have to have the stress of guessing what you might want to have happen. So I think really looking at legal and financial planning, and as you mentioned, Janice, safety. So some of the big concerns for people who are living alone with dementia are falls. So how can you make your home more safe for falls? Do you need to remove rugs? Do you need to look at having adaptive things installed in your home, such as grab bars, things of that nature, durable medical equipment? Also looking at driving. Driving is a big topic, and driving is a big pillar of independence. And so there's a lot of really great information for driving tips for people who have dementia on the Alzheimer's Association's website. They have a whole plethora of really phenomenal resources, but it's really important to start having that conversation with your loved ones about driving and understanding the dangers that can happen when you are driving and you have dementia. So just starting those conversations, I think, is really, really important. And the other piece is looking at in-home care and support. So as you're going through this journey, look at who your co-pilots are. Look at who is your network. Who are the people that you call when you're needing help? And really work to establish that connection, whether it's family, friends, neighbors, and let them know what's going on so that you can have people lined up to provide support. Also, there's options to do private pay. And there's also options through your local area agency on aging for some lower cost in-home support care options.
You mentioned these sort of pillars of independence, one of them being driving. I think another of them is living in your own home, living alone, if that's what you choose to do. I know one of the complicating factors that happens actually to a majority of people living with dementia is sort of this lack of insight. And this is such a big topic that actually our very first episode of Dementia Untangled, we explored all about this sort of lack of awareness, which really complicates care. But how does this complicate things for someone who's living alone, who can't see within themselves that something is changing, that they have a dementia, that they're potentially not safe?
That is a very big topic and a big question, Heather. And I don't think I have the perfect answer. I don't think anyone does at this point. I think it's about trial and error and doing the best that you can, because there is a lot of that self-awareness and resistance, because saying I might be having concerns with my memory is also saying I am losing my independence. And for people living alone, independently, like, that's a huge thing. It's scary. It's daunting. And I think there's broad things that we can do, which all of us are already involved in, which is talking about dementia every day, all day, making it something that is commonly discussed and information is readily available so that people are not afraid to talk about it. Having primary care doctors start talking about memory screening so that it is not something that is surprising when it comes up. So I think there are larger things that we can do to just make it a more comfortable topic and to bring broader awareness. And then on the smaller scale, I think one of the things I always ask people to do is, you know, check in on your neighbors. Do you have somebody in your neighborhood who you know of that is elderly and living alone? Can you touch base with them and see how they're doing and maybe establish a connection and a rapport with them, because maybe they're experiencing dementia and they don't know it and they don't know what to do. There are so many small things that we can do to try and help our community out. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, if you have an individual who is living alone and is very evident that they are experiencing memory loss, but they don't want to talk about it, the reality is there's only so much that we can do. And I think, again, it comes to just establishing a connection and a rapport and, you know, maybe just show up as much as you can and let them know that there's support and they're not alone. And there are a lot of really wonderful local resources. Again, you know, your area agency on aging has a lot of really good resources for people who are living independently, and they have a lot of services to help with social isolation and loneliness. So maybe that's the avenue to go in, is instead of talking about dementia, maybe talking about some of the other needs and concerns, and then bringing up the topic of dementia later.
I love those two words, show up. And it's so important for us to be a good neighbor. I love what you were sharing. And it brought to mind a story that I recently heard from a gentleman about how he said, you know, I'm always checking on my neighbor and helping out with things that they can't do anymore, like putting in a new light bulb or moving a little piece of furniture or whatever it might be for his neighbor. And I think that we forget how important those types of things are. And as we are noticing things with our family loved ones or with our neighbors that they're needing care, it's so nice if we can remember to share the Area Agency on Aging and some of the resources that are available. When family and friends are watching and noticing some changes, what are some of those things that might indicate that a person is no longer safe?
That's a really great question, Janice. I think there are several things that you can look at. The first thing that comes to mind is finances. Are the finances in order? Are all the bills relatively paid on time? Are there, you know, if there's a stack of late notices or delinquent notices, that's an indication that there could be something going on. Unfortunately, right now, there are a large number of scams, and a lot of those people like to prey on older adults. And then you add in the additional layer of memory loss to it. So keeping an eye on their finances and understanding where the money is going and making sure that it's going in the right places and not towards a scam, because that happens, unfortunately, more times than you'd like to think. And then I think the other key thing to look at is just the person's overall health and appearance. Are they well taken care of? Are they eating? Is the food in their fridge spoiled? That's a big indication that maybe they're not paying attention to what's going on, or they're not realizing how much time has passed and not realizing that the milk has been spoiled for 2 weeks. We do see that quite a lot. The biggest thing that I hear a lot from caregivers is forgetfulness, just kind of general forgetfulness. I went to the bathroom and I don't remember why I went there. And then that kind of continues to build and build. And I forgot why I'm at this appointment, or I don't remember where I left my keys. All of these things, all of us experience, but it's the frequency of which these events happen, and it's just kind of piling on and on. So those are things that you can keep an eye out for in your loved one. And just, again, looking at their general physical appearance, a lot of times people who are experiencing dementia don't take care of their basic kind of self-care and their basic health needs. And so making sure they're eating well and they're taking their medications, especially if they have other co-occurring health issues. So just, it's really about showing up, like you said, Janice, showing up. And as you get to know the person you're looking in on, you'll start to see signs of changes that could be leading towards a potential dementia diagnosis.
Once we've identified that someone we care about is not safe to be by themselves anymore, I can only imagine how difficult that conversation would be with that person, whether this is your parent or your friend. Bringing up these safety concerns to them has to be a difficult conversation. Do you have any strategies that you could share?
It is a very, very difficult conversation, Heather. I don't think it's a conversation anyone really looks forward to or wants to have, but sometimes you really have to sit down and have those difficult conversations. I think the best advice I have is try and meet them where they're at. Be as empathetic and compassionate as possible. Don't come in like a bull in a china cabinet and say, "Mom, you can't live here anymore. Look at all these things you're not doing right. We're going to move you." That's not going to be helpful. And so if you can, you know, ease into it with as much respect and dignity as you can, and still allowing for as much independence as possible. I mean, sometimes you may have to sit down and have a firm conversation that says, you know, we've talked about this for several months. It has now gotten to the point where I don't feel like you're safe at home. Why don't we look at a couple of options and you choose what assisted living facility you want to live in? And so I think there's ways that you can still provide that level of choice, so that there is that ownership without just coming in and taking over and changing everything overnight for your loved one. But as much as you can be kind and gentle and compassionate and still allow them to make as many decisions about the upcoming change as possible, I think it'll give you the most success.
And one of the things that you mentioned toward the beginning of our conversation was how important it is to write down how you want your end of life to look early. And then if we know this, then it's easier to go back and go, "I know what you wanted as a caregiver or a family member," because you had written it down. And that helps us to provide that ongoing respect and dignity. And it's so important for people to plan ahead and even put their advanced directives in place. Can you just touch on that, why it's so important to do that?
At the end of the day, I look at it from two perspectives. One, and I'll speak personally, as a daughter, I don't want to assume what my dad wants. I don't want to assume if he wants a DNR. I don't want to assume if he wants to be buried or cremated or what he wants to have happen with his body. At one point, he did want to donate his body to medical science, but I think he's changed his mind on that piece. But I don't want to assume anything. And then on the other side, as an older adult, you know, you want to put down your thoughts on paper. You don't want your family to have to be guessing and stressing about what they think you might want. At the end of the day, it's your life and it's the end of your life. And so put down on paper what you want so that you can make sure your wishes are fulfilled and your loved ones don't have to worry and stress about wondering what you might want or not in the end of your life. And there are really phenomenal resources out there for end of life care planning. You can reach out to the Alzheimer's Association or your local area agency on aging. I know Banner also has a lot of really wonderful end of life care planning resources, and a lot of them are low cost or free of service. So there's a lot of options out there to help you figure out what you want and how to put it down on paper correctly.
And we know just with the nature of a dementing illness, there's going to come a point in time when this person is not safe to live by themselves. How can you help our listeners know when is it a time for additional help, whether you decide to bring it into the home with the person or you're looking at them moving somewhere like an assisted living, a retirement community, something like that?
I would look at a few areas. The first area is looking at your ADLs or activities of daily living. Are you able to eat independently? Are you able to get up, get out of bed, get dressed, bathe yourself independently or with limited assistance? And so looking at your activities of daily living, also going to the bathroom, I mean, being very frank and realistic, toileting. Are you able to get up and down off of the toilet independently without falling or getting stuck? And specifically as it relates to dementia, one of the big things that we talk with our families about is wandering. That's a really big safety concern. And it can be the deciding factor for a lot of families if they start looking towards a memory care unit or not, or assisted living, because it can be really scary. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and your loved one is no longer there because they're down the road and they have sundowners and they're wandering. And so really looking at your activities of daily living and if your loved one's experiencing any wandering, I think those are some good places to start with as you look at seeing if assisted living is a necessity or not.
This has been quite a thought-provoking conversation, Harbhajan. Before we close today, could you give us your final thought when it comes to living with dementia and living alone?
I think my final thought is you're not alone. Even if you are living alone, you have a community of support out there, whether it's your neighbor, your friends, your family, your local area agency on aging, senior centers. You are not alone. And so while it may be scary to take that first step to reach out for help and support, know that there is a lot of help and support out there in your community and people are wanting to reach out and help. And so just get in touch with somebody, make a phone call, check in on your neighbors. As Janice said, step up. You know, we live in a community and we want to continue living in communities that can age in place and that can be dementia friendly.
Today, our conversation has been with Harbhajan Khalsa, the Dementia Capable Southern Arizona Program Director. We so appreciate you helping us untangle living alone with dementia.
Yes, thank you so much, Harbhajan. It's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. It's been so much fun talking with you both today.
And thank you, Heather, for another fantastic conversation. And thank you to you, our listeners. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at bannerhealth.com/Alzheimer's and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.